Imagine living in a city shrouded in perpetual darkness, moving like a shadow among others, disconnected and afraid. This is our ordinary state of consciousness, separated from our deeper selves and the sacred dimension of life. Yet beyond this metaphorical city lies another possibility, a state of presence where the ordinary transforms into the extraordinary. This is the revolutionary proposition at the heart of living presence, that through conscious, moment-to-moment awareness, we can awaken to the divine reality constantly surrounding us that we've forgotten how to perceive. Presence shapes everything, how we occupy space, our self-image, emotional tone, and whether we scatter or direct our energy. Unlike conventional education that merely transfers information, spiritual education awakens the soul through practices that have existed throughout history. This great work activates our latent human faculties, many of which have atrophied in our technological culture, where means have dangerously outstripped understanding of purpose. What makes us truly human isn't guaranteed by our species, but exists as potential. We must work to become fully human. Like a finely tuned instrument, our consciousness can produce either harmony or discord depending on its refinement and alignment with higher principles. Beyond our familiar faculties lie subtle capacities, volitional, deep intentionality, psychic, sensitivity to subtle energies, intuitive, direct knowing, magnetic, personal presence, and ecological, connection with all life. With these functioning harmoniously, we would experience intimate relationship with the source of life, much as a clear mirror perfectly reflects light. Our attention defines who we are at any given moment. Whether focused on roses or thorns, success or failure, our consciousness becomes what it attends to. This transformative power requires balancing outer and inner worlds, material and spiritual realms. The ego's attention flutters like a butterfly between likes and dislikes, while the awakened self directs attention voluntarily, like a steady flame illuminating without flickering. By observing how our attention gets caught in mental loops and emotional triggers, we gradually weaken the ego's hold. We began living as if separate and in danger, constructing a false self we've defended ever since. This self exists primarily in our thoughts, generated by fear and resulting desires, coming between us and reality. When divorced from the heart, it loses contact with being. Our capacity for voluntary attention is naturally limited, like a muscle that tires. However, when centered in our essential nature, attention flows more readily from a place outside time. Through conscious physical work without identification, we generate finer energy that sustains free attention, the soul's transformative power. Freedom comes through loving but objective observation. We must see ourselves differently than our habitual way, with an impartiality that breaks our fixation on the false ego. This new quality of seeing uses the eyes of the heart, with light concentrated through authentic teaching and spiritual community. Our essential self exists on a spectrum, from the artificial self-construct of those without self-knowledge to the natural self, reflecting spirit's attributes of conscious choice, unconditional love, and creativity. This spectrum ranges from the reactive personality driven by conditioning, through the awakening and conscious self, to the realized self living in harmony with spirit. This realization occurs through three processes: deconditioning, releasing limiting beliefs; reconditioning, cultivating virtues; and unconditioning, developing receptivity to higher influences. The work requires practical application in daily life and constant self-observation, not merely believing or theorizing. If asked about your soul, what image emerges? Looking deeply, we may experience ourselves as simple, unqualified presence behind thoughts, emotions, and behaviors. Sufism recognizes three human aspects: self, personal identity including thoughts and emotions; heart, deeper inner knowing with compassion; and spirit, our inmost consciousness reflecting the divine. Soul quality emerges from the relationship between self and spirit. Self without spirit's presence is merely ego, the false mask governed by self-centered thoughts. The more self becomes infused with spirit through presence and remembrance, the more soulful we become. Care of the soul means bringing loving attention to our problems, conflicts, and longings. Rather than avoiding emotional suffering, we attend to it. We learn to read our life as a story. And if our story has been a melodrama or tragedy, we must rewrite it.
The experience of one's own I varies greatly. For some, it's alienation. For others, communion with life. Spiritual attainment transforms this I from a separate, limited identity into an infinite one, moving from separation to union. The first step is observing our fragmentation. We scatter ourselves when yielding to every impulse, reducing our identity to momentary reactions. Our attention shifts constantly between likes, dislikes, and preoccupations with little abiding presence. Without will directing our attention, we are not fully human. Integration requires extending awareness to thinking, feeling, and sensing simultaneously, rather than being absorbed in just one. The gathering process follows two currents: gathering inwardly to our essential core through meditation, then carrying that collectedness into purposeful action. "The religion of love is like no other," declared Rumi, not advocating a new religion, but pointing to an awakening of divine love transcending all religious forms. Established religions often default to something unlike their original prophetic impulse. The religion of love has no particular outer form, yet those with a taste for it recognize it regardless. While religion should be the remedy, it sometimes becomes the illness when fear replaces love, turning the God of mercy into idols of judgment. Fear-based religion is mind control, not spirituality. In the religion of love, the ego isn't destroyed, but transformed into the heart's servant. Every human is either perfecting or degrading their soul, though most remain unaware of this significance while pursuing cravings or avoiding suffering. Our task is not to judge others, but to examine our own purpose and authenticity. Soul perfection comes through objective intelligence and unconditional love, while degradation results from truth-distorting egoism. The key difference is how much conscience, a divine attribute inherent in humans, operates within us, often veiled by societal egoism. Our soul's freedom depends on awareness that we exist at the intersection of multiple worlds. Higher worlds have fewer laws and greater freedom. The more conscious we become, the less constrained we are by compulsions and external forces. True freedom comes from making our home in consciousness, regardless of circumstances. Love is not the goal, but the cause of everything. Spirit, a single cosmic energy, manifests at all levels of existence as love. The energies of our inner life form a spectrum from sexual to spiritual, all expressions of one fundamental energy. Every creative act is an act of love, beginning with the absolute creator. The human who loves is the human who truly lives. In our fragmented world of distraction and disconnection, the path of presence offers both personal transformation and hope for our shared humanity. By awakening to the present moment, we become living mirrors of the divine qualities that are our birthright.